This evening, I'd like for us to consider something that is very prevalent in our world today, something that causes a lot of problems, and that something is lying. We all know that people can say things that they simply know were not true, but there's also another way to lie. How many times has a person said one thing and never did what they say they were going to do? Or they say something and then do something totally different. And actions and words do not always match together. And thus, many relationships are destroyed. We know that the wise man clearly said in the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, and in verse 4, that an evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. Yes, it is so easy to hear something and then repeat it, only later to find out we didn't understand what we said. Perhaps we didn't have all the facts. Or something is just too good to pass up. We have to share it with someone else, even if we know that what we say might not be necessarily true. Thus, a lie is simply something that is false, untrue, erroneous, deceitful, or even wicked. And therefore, a liar is one who speaks or perhaps does something different than something that is true. But would you believe, first of all, that there are some that do not lie, some that we need to pattern ourselves after? A passage that I'm sure a lot of us are familiar with is that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6 and verse 18, where a small portion of that verse clearly says that it is impossible for God to lie. We all know that God is true, and therefore He says and does everything that can be verified by His Word, but also as God is holy, He is just, He has the authority that ultimately He left to His only begotten Son, and therefore no one can speak against or contradict the nature of God in what He says or what He does. But a passage that is very similar to helping us to get a better understanding is that from Numbers, and I would like to call your attention there. In the book of Numbers, chapter 23, look at verse 19. Here we are told that God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good? When we consider the very nature of God, in the very beginning He spoke, and it happened. There was no contradiction in the creation of the world, in the promise that God made to Noah about the rainbow, that never again would He destroy the earth by so great a flood. And promise after promise after promise, God has made every single one. He always speaks the truth. And the one whom God sent, as we looked at Jesus Christ this morning, Jesus too speaks the truth. He does not lie. When you go to the book of 1 Peter, there in chapter 2, Peter gives us a very clear description of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 21, Peter clearly says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously." Jesus was always in subjection to His Heavenly Father. God certainly cannot lie. Christ does not lie. And if we consider ourselves to be Christians, followers of Christ, or Christ-like, you know we should not lie either. In at least two places, the Apostle Paul encouraged those to do that very thing. For example, in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 25, Paul expressed it this way, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Christians, being the body of Christ, in a head of which is Christ, members of his body, if God does not lie, Christ does not lie, being a part of him, we should not lie as well. Also, in Paul's letter to the Colossians, in chapter 3 and in verse 9, he clearly explains, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds." You see, lying is a characteristic of a non-Christian. Surely, before we became members of the body of Christ, we might say that there was at least one time in which I have told a lie. Perhaps some of us might even say there was more than one time. But that was all in the past. If we are trying to live godly lives in Christ Jesus, that is something we should no longer do. After all, there will come a place and a time in which no lie shall exist. The very last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, there in chapter 21, John describes a place called the New Jerusalem. And he begins to describe how Christ is going to redeem his people. In Revelation chapter 21, there in verse 27, here is how John describes this. "But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." You see, if our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, our sins have been blotted out. And therefore, as being redeemed by the blood of Christ, getting ready for His second coming, to receive that home that He's gone to prepare for us, according to John chapter 14, then we know that we will be a place where lies do not exist. And since we know that there are some that do not lie, how would they describe to us our attitude towards lies? Well, first, since we began with God, let's get God's attitude. Look with me now to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. Proverbs, chapter 6, as the wise man says, beginning here in verse 16. Proverbs, chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. He says clearly, "These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that have shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren." God clearly says that He hates it. As the wise man was penning these very words inspired of him, he can tell us that lying is something to be hated. But don't just take his word for it. Also consider what the psalmist said, as he wrote perhaps the longest psalm, Psalm 119. Don't worry, I'm not going to read every single verse of this chapter, but I do believe that one particular verse will bring home the point. Psalm chapter 119, verse 163. Psalm 119, 163. What does the psalmist say? "I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. The psalmist clearly understood the contrast between a lie and God's law. Because we know that God, who speaks the truth, given us His Word, which has to be true, which is clearly stated throughout the entire Bible. And therefore, when we follow what is true, we focus more on God than those that lie. He says, hate lying, abhor it, strongly despise it. Shouldn't that also be then the attitude of a Christian, a righteous man, one who tries to do what is right in the sight of God? Well, the wise man also has something to say about that. In Proverbs chapter 13, there in verse 5, here is his attitude. He says, a righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. You always hear that saying, beware your sins will find you out, that we also read in Scripture. Won't lies also reveal themselves? How many times has a person told one lie and then discovers that somebody's onto that, so another lie is told to cover it up, and then another one, and then another one, and they get bigger and bigger. Sometimes a person says, well, it was only a little white lie. And then that small lie escalates into bigger and bigger lies. Eventually, they will be found out. So we know who does not lie. We know the proper attitude that God has to lies, how the psalmist felt, how we as righteous people of God ought to feel. But then, can we point any fingers? Can we say, this person does lie? Well, the Bible clearly describes those that lie. Let's examine them and see if they apply perhaps to ourselves or to those that we need to proclaim God's truth, His Word to. Let's begin perhaps where these all began. Let's go to the Gospel of John. There in chapter 8, and Jesus says clearly in verse 44 where they come from. John chapter 8 and in verse 44. Here Jesus is discussing with the Jews to whom they come from. The Jews are children of whom? Well, let's see what Jesus says. John chapter 8 verse 44 says, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. He says the devil is a liar. He is the father of it. And to the Jews that Jesus claimed are of their father, the devil, that can only mean that they are doing exactly what he would do. That they too are speaking untruths. Perhaps they claim one thing and do something other. But then, what about those that claim that they have not sinned? Well, John has an answer for that as well. But this time we'll go to a smaller letter by John, the book of 1 John. And here in chapter 1, near the end of the chapter, in fact, it is the end of the chapter. Verse 10, notice what John says. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. We've already established the fact that God does not lie. It's impossible. But John says, if we claim that we have not sinned, that's as good as making him a liar. And therefore, God's word does not abide in us. Do we treat God that way? Do we claim, Lord, I'm perfect, I don't make any mistakes? Well, let's read on. When we go to the very next chapter, in 1 John chapter 2, there in verse 22, John says this, "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son." John recognizes there was a problem then, and there is even a problem today, that some do not accept Jesus to be the Christ, God's only begotten Son, that He has come in the flesh. Remember this morning we talked about how the world was in darkness. They did not accept the true light because of the things that Jesus would say, the things that Jesus would do to expose the darkness, because their deeds were evil. But then later in 1 John chapter 5, this time in verse 10, John says it this way, "He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. But he who does not believe, God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son." Now let's see if we can tie these things together. If we claim that we have not sinned, we make God a liar. But the truth is, according to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, that all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. If we deny Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, who did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth, we are lying. Because remember what Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 16? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know what truth is that comes from God's Word. And if we refuse to accept that, then it is us that is lying and not God. Perhaps that is why Paul expressed it this way in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4 when he says, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." If we contradict God, who's right? It's got to be God, isn't it? That's why we've got to give ourselves diligently to study God's Word, that we can grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we can clearly come to the knowledge of the truth. But sadly, there are those that do not want to know the truth. Perhaps they want something else. You ever hear somebody say, "Don't confuse me with the facts. My mind is already made up." Well, therefore, it's impossible to get anywhere. But you know, the Bible has to say something about that. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul clearly says in verse 24, Romans chapter 1 and verse 24, "Therefore, God has also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Can you believe there are some that are willing to make an exchange, the truth of God for a lie? If they're receiving the lie, I guarantee you they are not getting the better end of the deal. But instead, we need the truth. Didn't Jesus say, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free," from John chapter 8 and verse 32? Certainly, we need to come to the knowledge of the truth. And once we know what is right, we've got to teach it. And you know, there's more than one way to teach a lesson, isn't there? Not only what you say, but also what you do. It has often been said that perhaps the greatest sermon one can ever preach is by the life that he lives. And therefore, even John has a lot to say about that. When we go back to the book of 1 John, where I'd like to spend a good bit of our time now. Listen to what John says we say versus what we do. And if they're consistent, we're telling the truth. But if they're different, something or someone is lying. 1 John chapter 1, let's start here in verse 6. John says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. He says, if we walk in the light, we claim it, we better do it. Where are we going? What are we doing? There are some of us that see us each and every day. There are some of us that maybe see us a few times during the week. There might be some that maybe see us occasionally throughout the month or even in a whole year. But God certainly sees us all the time. He knows what we say and what we do. If we claim we have fellowship with Him, we should be in accordance one with another. We should strive to have the mind that was in Christ Jesus. We should strive to be following after His example, doing the things that He has showed us how clearly to do. And therefore, that is why we go to 1 John chapter 2. Because here, John tells us about what it is we must do. 1 John chapter 2, this time, and verse 4. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. I believe a question was asked sometime earlier today. Is it the same thing to know someone as opposed to really know? Well, we can be aware of something. We can acknowledge that I believe in God. He does exist. But does that also mean I truly know Him? I have a strong relationship with Him. I read my Bible a lot. I pray a lot. I enjoy that fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm listening to what it is He commands me, and I'm actually doing them. If I know what He says to do, and I'm doing it, then you can see we're doing the truth. But if I say, well, God tells me to do this, but I don't want to. I want to do my own thing. You can see I claim something, do something else. John says, we are lying and the truth is not in us. And sometimes keeping those commandments are very difficult, especially if they involve one another. But just because something is difficult does not mean it is impossible. We're told that God will never put on us more than what we're able to do. And that's why later in 1 John chapter 4, this time beginning in verse 20, John gives us a more specific example. Here in 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 20, John says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. You know, it's very sad that sometimes congregations have split because of a lack of love one for another. I'm sure we could talk about people in this state and all across the country or even across the globe. And if they try to put themselves first, perhaps friends later or last, and God somewhere in the middle or even last, everything just falls apart. But if we claim we love God, we've got to love each other. Remember, even Jesus said that as He has loved us, so we ought to love one another. And when people see in our lives that what we teach and what we preach is exactly what we carry out, they know, well, there's something good about this person. They must be telling me the truth. Because, as the saying goes, they practice what they preach. That's what Christ preached by word and example. And therefore, as we follow in His footsteps, we must love each other as we love God. And if we do so, we will not lie. Perhaps we need a concrete example. Can we see someone that has lied and perhaps gotten in trouble for that? Well, unfortunately, we don't have time to look at every single individual that we can come across as recorded in the Word of God. But one that might stand out, that might help us to remember a little bit, is found in the book of Acts, chapter 5. Remember where lying comes from? The devil, the father of lies. Has anybody ever said, the devil made me do it? I lied because he was the one that influenced me. Well, in a way, you can see how two individuals could make the very claim. In Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, we're told that a certain man, Ananias, with wife Sapphira, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied unto men, but unto God. Peter clearly says that Satan has entered their heart, has filled it to lie to the Holy Spirit. And as a result, they didn't just lie to the apostles. They didn't just lie to the brethren in Christ. But he said, you have lied unto God. Do we think about that enough? If a lie is told, we think about who is affected. We tend to think about ourselves or others, the ones that told the lie or the one the lie was told regarding. Do we stop to consider that God is affected? How we treat Him? How we lie even unto God? We claim to be someone and do something else. If we tell God that we understood what He said and we're going to do what He said, but perhaps never do, this could mean the difference between eternal life and eternal damnation. We know this because that's what God's Word teaches. Look with me now to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. I believe the Apostle Paul clarifies the clear effect of what will take place. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, again going back to the beginning, the father of all lies, Paul says this, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, and had pleasure in unrighteousness. Have you ever heard the expression, you tell a lie so many times until you believe it? It can happen, but it can also happen that we don't want to believe the truth. Instead, we cannot accept it. We want to believe what we want to believe. You see, that will have its consequences. We're told that we will perish. those that did not receive the love of the truth. Why? Because that they might be saved. That's why we have the truth. That's why we have the Word of God. That's why the gospel is preached. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If I truly believe and accept the truth that God loves me, He sent His only begotten Son, Christ loved me, He gave His life on the cross for me, and if therefore I love Him because He first loved me, then I'll do what He says, and by the truth will indeed set me free. I can enter into everlasting life. But if I don't want to believe that, if I just want to believe what I've always believed, doing what I've always been taught, if it is different than what the Word of God says, it's going to cause me to lose my eternal soul. And not a single liar will escape. You see, in the book of Revelation, the next to the last chapter, chapter 21, here in verse 8, John gives us a list of those that will perish. In Revelation chapter 21 in verse 8, here are the ones that John says this is going to affect. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. He didn't say just those that tell little white lies, just those that tell great big lies, but all liars. Each and every one that tells lies, believes lies, or he says those that live a life different than what they claim to live. All liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. Well, what should we do when we encounter lying? Well, I believe the scriptures have made it very, very clear. If that is part of our past as being Christians, that is something we no longer do. If we continue to struggle with that, we must repent. Remember, Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And I do not want to perish eternally. But if I'm not lying now, I hope and pray that I will not start. As we are getting ready to sing and have sung, we must not yield to that temptation. Instead, we need to stand up for the truth, to hear, to say, and to do what God commands us to do. This evening, the lesson is yours. We're about to sing a song of encouragement. And if there are one tonight that needs to respond to that invitation, we encourage you to come as together we stand and sing.